Constitution of the United States.
Thank you for listening. You're tuned into The Freedom Message with Steve and Vincent live on bbsradio.com. The number to participate in the show is 877-270-8714, 877-270-8714. Give a call. We want to hear from you. We want to hear what you think about Ron Paul, the Ron Paul Revolution. We want to hear what you're up to, what you feel about the campaign, the way things are going. Even if you disagree, that you don't like Ron Paul, you don't think he ought to be president, I want to hear about that too. I'd enjoy that. Anything you want to talk about, 877-270-8714, don't be shy. So, of course, there was yet another Republican presidential debate yesterday in Michigan. And, you know, can't say I'm totally thrilled with the way that debate went down. I think the doctor got a couple of minutes, really, out of the whole thing. When you consider what is actually happening right now in the real world, not the fantasy world that these politicos apparently live in the real world, the dollar is crashing. Gold is soaring through the roof, which is to say precious metals, which is to say sound money, soaring through the roof. In the real world, the debt bubble is imploding. House values are plunging. The real estate market is coming unglued. In the real world, we're in a recession, or heading into one. In a recession which has the very real potential for catapulting us into a depression, because we are a fiat money, debt-based economy, and without the continual influx of new debt to prop up the old debt, the bubble bursts and the economy folds. And that's where we're at right now. This is what's actually happening, transpiring right now. Was any of this addressed at all in this so-called debate about financial and economic conditions in this country? Not even touched upon, except by Dr. Paul, the limited amount of time that he was given. So, really a true travesty, in my opinion. I have to confess, I have not seen the entire debate. I watched as much of it as I could, but just really nowhere whatsoever in terms of actually addressing the reality. Now, you can get up there on stage and you can give yourself the air of authority. You can put a tone in your voice. You can look at your questioner directly in the eye. You can point your finger and you can make a declaratory statement that the economy is sound. Things are looking good for the American economy, or some such bombastic statement, and apparently get away with it, because that's what they did over and over and over again. They said absolutely nothing about the actual, real-world, concrete circumstance in which the United States of America finds itself today. They did not give Dr. Paul much of an opportunity to crack that open and turn it into an actual debate about real-life stuff, you know? But we will listen to what Dr. Paul did manage to say in his time. So let's go ahead. We've got about 7 minutes or so of material of Dr. Paul at the CNBC debate. Let's listen to that, and we'll talk about that a little bit. Again, the number to call, 877-270-8714.
Congressman Paul, I think you have questions and concerns about the bonanza in the hedge fund industry, do you?
Yes, I think this is not a consequence of free markets. What's happening is there's transfer of wealth from the poor and the middle class to the wealthy. This comes about because of a monetary system that we have. When you inflate a currency or destroy a currency, the middle class gets wiped out. So the people who get to use the money first, which is created by the Federal Reserve System, benefit. So the money gravitates to the banks and to Wall Street. So that's why you have more billionaires than ever before. Today, this country is in the middle of a recession for a lot of people. Michigan knows about it. Poor people know about it. The middle class knows about it. Wall Street doesn't know about it. Washington, D.C. doesn't know about it. But it's because of the monetary system and the excessive spending. As long as we live beyond our means, we are destined to live beneath our means. And we have lived beyond our means because we are financing a foreign policy that is so extravagant and beyond what we can control, as well as the spending here at home. And we're depending on the creation of money out of thin air, which is nothing more than debasement of the currency. It's counterfeit, and it is a natural, predictable consequence that you're going to have people benefit from it and other people suffer. So if you want a healthy economy, you have to study monetary theory and figure out why it is that we're suffering. And everybody doesn't suffer equally, or this wouldn't be so bad. It's always the poor people, those on retired incomes, that suffer the most. But the politicians and those who get to use the money first, like the military-industrial complex, they make a lot of money and they benefit from it.
Thank you, Congressman.
Okay, so... I don't know where this happened in the course of the debate. I'm going to guess and say Ron Paul had been sitting around for like half an hour saying nothing, twiddling his thumbs, and he finally got a chance to speak. That's what it feels like to me anyway, because what happened in this segment here is he tried to cram in, use the excuse of the question about hedge funds. Any question would do, really. No, let me back up. This is actually a good thing, the way he replied to this question, because often what he does, and I consider it a bit of a tactical mistake, is he actually answers the questions that are asked to him, and frequently they're really just poor questions. The actual tactic that you need to use is when they open the door, you put through that door whatever you want to put through it. Get your points out. Get your points out. So this was actually an improvement in the sense that that's exactly what he did. He briefly addressed the hedge fund issue and then just he went off and said what he wanted to say because, I mean, this, and he was right in having the assumption that this might be his only opportunity to actually say something of substance, so he availed himself of the opportunity. Chris Matthews, fortunately, didn't interrupt him the way other hosts do, and I think we'll see a little bit later on why he allowed Dr. Paul to go on without interruption. But anyway, he did avail of himself of the opportunity to speak on the core issues of the monetary system and of the debt bubble, and of the fact that we are in a recession, simply stating the obvious fact, and that, you know, we're in a recession, that the people are in a recession, while the rich are not, because of inflation. Inflation meaning the inflation of the monetary bubble, the constant creation of debt, the constant creation of money through debt financing. So the only problem I have with his response is not really a problem in the sense that he had a limited amount of time to work with, and he kind of was in a situation where he had to cram it all in. He had to cram in basically what he was trying to address in that statement is a 3-hour lecture, minimum, a minimum 3-hour lecture. He was trying to condense it into a very short period of time. I don't know what the time span was, but let's see, I can tell you it's 1 minute and 48.5 seconds exactly. Trying to educate people in that that little amount of time that he had. What I would maybe ask Dr. Paul and the people that prepare him for these things is that to maybe try not to cram quite so much into a short window, because then it doesn't come across. If you're educated already in these things, which this is very difficult to understand, even if you are already educated, as I am, in these things, in financial and monetary matters, for those who are not, it comes off, it's not clear. It doesn't land. So I think that what we need to do in that circumstance is present maybe one or two points clearly and concisely, rather than try to cram in every single point. Just my commentary on that, you know, and it's not an attack on Dr. Paul. I'm just trying to say what might have worked better in that circumstance. He did very well considering the situation that he's in, where he has no choice but to do what he can with the limited amount of time that they allow him to speak. So let's go ahead and listen to the next segment here.
I want to quickly down the line, same question. Should a Dubai company be able to own 20% of NASDAQ, Congressman?
If there's no conflict with national security, certainly yes, they should.
This is the story, Dubai owning NASDAQ. Is there security?
I don't think
they're
a threat to our national security, no, so they would be able to.
Congressman Paul, would we have gone to war in Iraq if it...
Okay, so I'll just stop there. Nothing too much to say about that, other than he's standing on principle there. They want people to say, we have to be up in it's an Arab country. How can they buy a, you know, crucial American asset? It's an Arab country. He's standing on his free trade principles. You know, his principles say, you know, as long as they're not a threat to national security, then it's free trade. And, you know, if they want to invest in an American company, they invest in an American company. You know, what they're trying to do with questions like that, and what Miss Bartiromo was apparently trying to with her follow-up, she wanted to put him on his heels, on the defensive. That, well, how can you not be afraid of the terrorists? You have to be afraid of the terrorists, you know, and that means you have to be, well, oh, they're Arabs, so we just can't allow that, you know, and fire up that kind of what's the word for it? Nationalistic fear-mongering. It didn't work, and Dr. Paul simply stood on his principles and answered the question thusly.
If we weren't so dependent on Middle East oil,
probably not, but that should not be a reason. That's an old theory. It's mercantilistic. It's neocolonialism that you have to maintain your supply routes and your natural resources. But I think there's still a lot of those kind of people around, and they believe, we were told it was about oil and jobs when it first started in 1990, and this is just a continuation of that war. Indeed, this war is a mistake. It was a mistake to go in. It's very costly, and it has a lot of economic ramifications. We're going broke. We have this huge deficit. We're spending nearly $1 trillion with maintaining our empire overseas, and that's a cost. Right now, we own foreigners $2.7 trillion. No wonder they have money to come back in here and buy stuff up, and then we object. But that has to do with our monetary system as well as our foreign policy. So if we want prosperity, we have to change our foreign policy. We have to live within our means, but we can't maintain a reserve currency where all our greatest export today are paper dollars. We create money out of thin air, and they still accept it as if it was backed by gold. And that is the reason all this money goes overseas, and at the same time we finance all this military activity overseas. It's bankrupting this country. And not only that, it's a threat to our personal liberties here, and it's going to be a threat to our economy because we are beginning to live beneath our means. And that is a natural consequence of what happens when you live beyond your means. So we must change our policy both overseas and domestically.
Question down the line, gentlemen. It's so important.
Okay, so the question was about, would we have gone into Iraq if it wasn't about oil? He did briefly answer that question, but then, you know, used the opportunity once again. And again, hats off to Dr. Paul. I'm guessing that he's maybe been given this advice from, you know, his campaign, that when you've got the door open, stick your foot in it and get as much out there as you can. Don't necessarily answer the question if you don't think that it goes to your advantage to, you know, stick to the question. You know, I think there's a realization that this is not about answering questions so much as getting your point of view out there, especially when, you know, the point of view of Dr. Paul is not the one that people are most schooled in, and they need the opportunity to hear it as frequently as possible. Again, he used it as an opportunity to talk about the U.S. dollar, debt financing, the fiat money system, and to get that out there once again and make that part of the debate, literally make that part of the discussion that we're having as a nation about our situation in the world, in our situation economically, and our future.
And Congressman Paul, do you believe the President needs authorization of Congress to attack strategic targets in Iran, nuclear facilities?
Absolutely. This idea of going and talking to attorneys totally baffles me. Why don't we just open up the Constitution and read it? You're not allowed to go to war without a declaration of war. Now, as far as fleeting enemies go, yes, if there's an imminent attack on us, we've never had that happen in 220 years. The thought that the Iranians could pose an imminent attack on the United States is preposterous. There's no way. This is just war propaganda. Continued war propaganda, preparing this nation to go to war and spread this war not only in Iraq but into Iran unconstitutionally. It is a road to disaster for us as a nation. It's a road to our financial disaster if we don't read the Constitution once in a while.
Around the horn, Congressman.
Oh, we know a significant amount of applause to that. So, you know, our Mr. Romney, unbelievable. I mean, these people just say whatever they think, you know, they need to say to come across to the greatest number of people. So Romney, in his answer, well, we need to consult the lawyers and see, well, maybe this or maybe that. Or blah, blah, blah. I mean, and rightly so, Dr. Paul laughs to a certain extent, laughs at that response and says, it's utterly ridiculous to talk about consulting attorneys. You know, why don't you just have a look at the Constitution? That's the law of the land, and it says that you do not go to war without declaring war. So it's really pretty much that simple. And, you know, he continues to be brave in these circumstances to just say, and I'm glad that the tone is certainly much stronger. Right now we're hearing Dr. Paul say that the idea that we're going to attack, that Iran is going to attack us, is preposterous. Why not use the word? It is utterly preposterous that Iran, the small country halfway across the globe, is going to somehow deliver a nuclear weapon that they don't even have and can't have for 10 years. I mean, it is what he called war propaganda. Straight up. Straight up war propaganda. So it's very valuable to have a candidate in the race who's simply saying what it is, you know? Calling it what it is. Okay, so we've got a caller, I believe, on line 4 that wants to talk about this. So let's go ahead and talk to the caller. Are you there, sir? Hello? Oops, let's see. Hello, caller on line 4?
Am I on 4?
Okay, I don't know where you are, but go ahead.
Hello?
Hi, who's calling?
Oh, this is Kathy.
Hi, Kathy. What's up?
From Los Angeles.
What's going on?
Yeah, well, I want to make a note that he made a terrific speech last night on the short amount of time that he had to speak. He made his point, and everyone who understands these things took note of it.
Yeah, what we're talking...
I mean,
you're talking about...
He's coming out more forceful, more direct... And clarifying his points.
Absolutely, I think you're right about that. I like the forcefulness. I like the directness. I like the fact that he wasn't afraid to go after Romney and say that, you know, his statement about consulting the attorneys first before attacking Iran. It was ridiculous, you know.
Right.
And
bring up that.
Absolutely, and why not, you know? I think that
that's
he's still,
car, you know, and he had no one, and they can't laugh at him because what he made sense.
Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, he was given very limited amount of time to work with. I don't know what the breakdown was here, but I think that the situation that we're in financially and economically demands that Dr. Paul be given a heck of a lot more attention and time than he was in this debate. And he certainly needs to be a guest on CNBC, during their financial show. I mean, it's all about what's happening to the U.S. dollar right now. And who else in Washington are you going to talk to about that but the guy who's been talking about it for 25 years and more?
Written
a book about it, exactly, thank you. You know, and the only one who's, you know, who's been warning about the debt bubble and the ensuing financial crisis that comes from a crashing U.S. dollar. So, you know, who else are you going to talk to about that other than Ron Paul? So I personally think that as this thing starts to unwind, we need to be pressuring the media to have Dr. Paul on as a guest to hear his point of view on the financial situation of the country as it continues to devolve. And so... Good. So, what else?
Making his points. His points are getting pretty heavy, and people are thinking about. I know. I can sense it.
Yeah.
You know, they're in that predicament because there's more middle and lower class people than the rich people.
Yeah. Well, I think that I was a little bit disappointed that he didn't get more time in this debate because of the breakout that we're having now. You know, with the fundraising.
Right.
And the increased attention from the media that resulted from that, I was expecting more.
Same here.
You know, more attention given to Dr. Paul, especially, like I said, considering that he ought to be the go-to guy when you're talking about issues.
He needs a man like Lou Dobbs to question him because I can sense Lou Dobbs would have more sympathy and not sympathy but more understanding to ask Dr. Paul more questions than the others.
You're right about that, absolutely.
He wants to stop the North American Union.
Absolutely.
And this is the guy we need to add as a moderator.
Absolutely. Well, if you want to hang on the line, we're going to go ahead and play another clip from the debate, and we'll see what Dr. Paul has to say here. Hold on just a second. We're going to play this.
Governor Huckabee, this is one of those 30-second down-the-line gentlemen questions. Polls show that Republicans are known as the party of national security and of moral values, but polls also show that voters look now, at least, to the Democrats to handle the economy. How are you going to win back their confidence in order? Congressman Paul.
Well, first, we have to have a sound economy, and we don't. We're overtaxed, we're overregulated, we work with a currency that is non-functional, and our prosperity is slipping, and we are overextended overseas. You can't have a prosperous economy at home when you're spending all the money overseas. You can't even have a strong national defense if you're spending all this money overseas in wars that we're not winning. So if we want a prosperous economy here, we have to change these policies, and we can't be bailing out farmers and subsidizing ethanol. This is just the wrong way to go. The taxpayers pay for the subsidies, and then they pay for higher prices when they buy the gasoline or buy the food. It never works.
Governor, thank you, Governor. This is
good. So, you know, there he got a chance to talk a little bit about the effects of big government. Exactly, you know, we look to the government to manage the economy, and all it ever does is make things, you know, worse for people.
Worse than it actually was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you know, and we're supposed to be about a free market economy where the market determines, you know, supply and demand and price levels and distribution and all of these things. Yet somehow or another, we don't really believe the way they run the country. They don't really believe that markets can actually adequately, you know, determine the distribution of goods and services and the prices at which they ought to be priced at.
We do everything to turn things around, open trade, and I mean free trade with other countries, and that we consider that our enemies, you know.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
More of a chance to get to become friends rather than fighting. With trading, you don't fight.
Yep. Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely. Let's go ahead and listen to this next clip.
We got to get the word out on this peace with trade.
Yes, absolutely. Peace with trade. Let's go ahead and listen to the next clip and see what he has to say.
This is a 30-second answer, and the question is, are unions good for America? And please act like you're a member of a union and limit it to 30 seconds. Okay? I'll start with Congressman Paul. Please, we have to limit the time.
The right to unionize should be a basic right of any group. You should be able to organize. You should have no privileges, no special benefits legislated to benefit the unions. But you should never deny any working group to organize and negotiate for the best set of standards. Standards of working conditions.
Well, that was pretty obvious. I mean,
yeah.
It's kind of a silly question, really.
I heard
really.
That laugh and when before he started. So, well, they say empty wagons make the most noise. So these are empty heads.
Right. It was just a stupid question. Are unions good for America? I mean, what is that? Is the implication that somehow the government has the right to determine that one way or another? That this shouldn't. Okay, we're gonna come to the
right. I mean, if you want to join a union, you're gonna take the opportunity either way.
Right. The implication of the question is, well, if somehow everyone in government, or the majority in government came to the conclusion that unions were a bad idea, that somehow they'd have the right to eliminate them and prevent them. What does that implication mean? And I think that's what Dr. Paul sensed, and he responded. On a freedom basis, that, hey, it's a question of freedom of association. If people want to form associations, that's their constitutional right
that's
to do that.
Prerogative.
Exactly. Let's see what the next question is.
Paul, do you promise to support the nominee of the Republican Party next year?
Not right now, I don't. Not unless they're willing to end the war and bring our troops home, and not unless they're willing to look at the excessive spending. No, I'm not going to support them if they continue down the path which has taken our party down the tubes. I mean, we've lost credibility because of all our spending, because we have violated the civil liberties of all the American people, and we have adopted the Democrats' foreign policy. Why don't we run on George Bush's foreign policy of a humble foreign policy and no nation building,
okay,
and don't police the world? Then I'll support.
Let me try that by a couple.
Okay, well, I really like that one. Oops, hold on a second.
Yeah, he really laid it down on the line and put his word two cents where he, no, he put his words in. Into what people have to think,
yeah.
What he's saying.
Well, a question like that is meant to put him in a box where you have to prove now. You have to prove now that you're a real Republican, and that no matter who the Republican nominee is, you're going to be a party man, and you're going to toe the party line and support the party candidate. So they wanted to put him in a situation where he would be forced to capitulate or prove himself to not be a real Republican, and he stood firmly on his own ground, which is I'll support the party candidate if their policies are the right and true Republican policies, not the policies that these clowns. He didn't say it, but what's that again?
Understand what he believes in.
Exactly, that was a truly great moment, I think, for Dr. Paul.
Yeah, he's getting better polished on that, what he's doing.
Mm-hmm. And like you said earlier, more confident, more direct. Now that I've listened to all of these clips and everything together, overall it was a pretty good performance. I just felt that in the first segment he tried to cram in too much information into the first question, and when you get when it's complicated, dense economic and financial theory stuff that most people just don't really know or understand, I think you have to focus on just one thing,
If you listen to any of the others, they sound so ridiculous. I mean, they don't think with the subject. They beat around, with They use one line or something.
Exactly. It's called platitudes, you know. Lower taxes. Yes. I really think that lower taxes. And they'll just go, you know, lower taxes again, you know, and or whatever. Anything, a buzzword, a phrase.
Whatever they want the audience to hear.
Exactly. A buzzword, a phrase.
You know, they don't have anything to say.
Exactly.
Mumble with some kind of few words together.
No substance,
you know,
really.
They think they're smart, but they're not, you know.
Exactly. Well, very good, you know.
The way people are seeing them who they are, so it won't take too much time before they realize Ron Paul stands for what he believes in.
Absolutely. Well, we're going to go ahead and play this piece from the post-debate interview with Chris Matthews, which I found to be quite fascinating and interesting. And then after that, we're going to have another caller on the line. So I'm going to let you go, Kathy.
Okay.
And thank you very much.
Okay, thank
you very much,
Stephen,
for calling in. All right.
Have a nice day.
You too. Bye-bye. Good. All right. So let's go ahead and play this piece from with Ron Paul being interviewed by Chris Matthews. Post-debate, and some interesting stuff here.
Welcome back to Dearborn, Michigan, and Harbaugh's live coverage of the Republican debate out here. Here's U.S. Congressman Ron Paul responding to Mitt Romney's suggestion he'd consult his lawyers before attacking Iran.
This idea of going and talking to attorneys totally baffles me. Why don't we just open up the Constitution and read it? You're not allowed to go to war without a declaration of war. Now, as far as fleeting enemies go, yes, if there's an imminent attack on us, we've never had that happen in 220 years. The thought that the Iranians could pose an imminent attack on the United States is preposterous. There's no way. This is just war propaganda. Continued war propaganda, preparing this nation to go to war and spread this war not only in Iraq but into Iran unconstitutionally. It is a road to disaster for us as a nation. It's a road to our financial disaster if we don't read the Constitution once in a while.
We're here with Republican presidential candidate Ron Paul. You know, I just know that there are people all over the country jumping up and down with glee. Now, they're not all Republicans. A lot of them are Democrats and Independents. But how come the big number of people in this country who think this war was a huge mistake, who believe that all this talk of going to Iran is just war fever, that we're getting a big build-up, a propaganda build-up to go to war, why don't they have, since they dominate the polls, why don't they dominate the politics?
I have no idea. You wonder about this, but they will be sucked into it every time. It's almost human history that they do. But they have to be feared. They have to build up fear, and that's what is happening now. It's that they're going to attack us, and our enemies, another Hitler, and even though it doesn't exist, if you say it over and over again, how many times?
Can I suggest something? This is the choir in which I sing. The Vice President of the United States went on Meet the Press and programs like it, one after the other, talking about the fact that Saddam Hussein, this third world dictator, had a nuclear weapon that he was going to put on some sort of balsa wood plane and fly over and kill us with it. And on that basis, a lot of people said, oh, I guess we got to go to war.
That is true, and that means we should be more on guard, but we're not. That is history. I mean, this is the way it works. The governments have been doing this notoriously for a long, long time, and I'm just begging and pleading that people be alert. But, you know, in a way, we should be a little bit more optimistic about getting this message out. 70% of the American people want to come home from Iraq.
Yes, but we're not coming home because the politicians keep voting to fund the troops, and they have a real problem in restraining presidential authority. Now, what did you make of the fact that Governor Romney said, when asked whether he thought the president could actually start a war for strategic reasons, attack the nuclear facilities in Iran? Clearly, that would have required a resolution because it would involve a situation where we decide that somewhere down the road this country is going to be a threat to us. Deliberate decision should be cleared by Congress. And he says, I got to check my lawyer before I find out if I do that or not.
I was a bit outraged, as you recall. I just couldn't believe this was being said. Because I think there's so little respect for the Constitution. Matter of fact, I think to bomb somebody is an act of war, and you should have a declaration of war, not just a resolution. Just think of how many less wars we would have been fighting since World War II. We wouldn't have been fighting any of these wars if I had my way. Think of how many men and women would be alive today. How many would be not injured if we just followed the rules? Don't go to war unless you declare it.
Look at all the wars we've had, brother. The Bushes, we've gone to war with the Panamanian dictator, with Noriega. We went to war with Grenada. that was supposed to be a threat.
Then you wonder why the South Americans have so little respect for us when we go in there and arrest the president and bring him up and put him in our prisons. I mean, it is just totally absurd.
A lot of people think like you. I dare not say I'm one of them. Anyway, thank you, Ron Paul, Congressman Ron Paul. Up next.
That economic pessimism.
Okay, so Congressman Paul with Chris Matthews after the debate. And interesting the way Chris Matthews ended his session with Dr. Paul, saying that a lot of people think like you. I dare not say that I am one of them. Now, sometimes things kind of slip out. You know, live television, live radio. Sometimes things slip out. I dare not say that I am one of them. One of those that agree with you. Can we take those words literally? Literally, I dare not say that I am one of those who agree with you. Have they been told how to handle Dr. Paul? You know, is the word out? You know? Very interesting. The whole interview starts with, after hearing Dr. Paul make anti-Iraq war statements, anti-Iran war statements, he says lots of people, Chris Matthews says, lots of people are jumping up and down with glee in that he, and a recognition that the majority of people support Dr. Paul's position. His only question is, if that's the case, then why aren't they dominating the polls? When he says the election process, I'm assuming he means the polls. You know, Dr. Paul goes on to say, well, you know, governments do this. They propagandize the population and then launch them into a war that they don't really want. And that we need to be on our guard because they're doing it again with Iran, just as they did with Iraq. So, a very interesting piece, very positive. Yet another media personality who appears to have, to some degree, opened their eyes to the freedom message and Dr. Paul. Quite interesting. I believe we have a caller on the line right now. We have Linda on the line. Are you there with us, Linda?
I sure am.
Hi. Thanks for calling in. Folks, this is Linda Honeycutt, the Granny Warrior, and you may possibly have heard of her, her adventures crisscrossing the country in her RV, all pauled up, her RV completely Ron Pauled, end to end, top and bottom, with her other friend, another Granny Warrior, and they have had many adventures going across the country in support of Ron Paul and the Freedom Message. I want to thank her very much for dedicating these last months to that effort, and thank her for the fantastic effect that she has had on spreading the word about Dr. Paul and the message of freedom. Thank you so much, Linda.
Oh, you're more than welcome. I'm doing it for myself, not for anybody else, really. It's my family I'm worried about.
I hear you. Well, I hear you're up to something new. You've got there's a big event, a NASCAR race coming up in North Carolina, and you're arranging some major Ron Paul presence at that. Why don't you go ahead and tell folks about that?
Oh, I just got tired of these little piddly things, so I figured, well, we got to start thinking big. If we're going to win this, we've got to get more people. That's the key, more people, you know? So what's the most attended event on the East Coast? It's a NASCAR race. So we started thinking about, all right, what can we do? Well, we found a guy that has a plane that'll fly a banner over the racetrack. So we contracted for him to fly. He's going to fly 8 times around the track on Friday when they're having 2 races this week. So we got a doubleheader going here. I mean, this was accidental, but it just worked out great. Have a 2 night races, so they're going to be racing at night, so the banner can't fly at night, of course. But during the daytime, when they're having all the pre-race stuff, all the people will be walking around, you know, just
honey, let me tell you about something.
And here goes the plane.
Let me tell you about something. We in Los Angeles, when Dr. Paul came here, we had an airplane fly over. it doesn't fly a banner, it flies lights underneath. It's like a billboard.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, you could maybe try to get that same guy and do it at night.
Well, I tried, but it was a little more than what I had the money for.
Oh, okay. Too bad. When is this?
This will be this Friday and Saturday.
This Friday and Saturday. Okay, great.
Yeah.
All right.
We'll be there. We're leaving tomorrow. We spent last weekend down at the racetrack just trying to find a good place. And all those track workers, they were great. They've sent us from one spot to another trying to get us the best spot where we'd be visible. They finally made a spot for us right on off the interstate in front of the gate.
All right.
You can't miss us.
Very good.
I mean, with 150,000 people have already bought tickets for the races, so that's a lot of people.
So you're going to stand at the gate with Ron Paul literature and signs? And
we're going to be right there with the RV, and you can't miss us.
Okay. Now who's going to come down and help you?
Well, I don't know yet, but I'm sure some people will show up. We've got a guy in Charlotte that has a meetup group there, and they have a large membership.
Okay.
He's coming down. He's also a pit crew member for one of the NASCAR race teams.
Oh, okay.
They have a thing called Pre-Race. It's a TV show that they broadcast nationwide. And we're taking some big banners down. He's going to line this auditorium up with the big banners that they filmed this in for Ron Paul. No matter where that camera goes, there's going to be a Ron Paul sign.
Oh, that's brilliant. That is brilliant. I like it. That is awesome. Good work. Well, we need more of what you're doing, and folks, you know, tell us exactly what town is this in, and what's the arena that it's going to be at.
It's 20 miles from Charlotte in a little town called Concord. In fact, the racetrack is Concord.
Okay. So if you're in North Carolina this weekend, then come on down for that, be there for that. Sounds like an exciting event. And
we're going to have a tailgate party too, except it's going to be an RV party.
Right.
We've got 500 hot dogs and coleslaw and corn on the cob.
Well, folks, turn out.
Right.
How far are you from? Let's see. Is that from Winston-Salem? Is that in anywhere near there or?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe 100 miles.
Oh, that's a long way.
Driving distance.
Yeah, North Carolina is a big state. So, okay. Well, on that same weekend, it's also the All-America Walk for Ron Paul. And right now we've got 60 different walks happening all across the country, including in North Carolina. We've got two of them going on in North Carolina. So lots of activity on that weekend. That's really great.
That's
news.
Great.
But folks, if you're in that area of North Carolina, please head down on Friday and Saturday to help Linda, the Granny Warrior, and all of her folks out by taking advantage of this huge opportunity to spread the word about Dr. Ron Paul and reach lots of people. 180,000 people.
Out on the street putting signs up.
Yeah. Put up signs along the street. Be there in front of the gate.
We need to own that town this weekend.
Absolutely. Anybody in North Carolina, please get it out there. I'll see what I can do about helping to spread the word about this. I think that's brilliant, and that's just the kind of thing that we need to be doing. And I think that kind of effort, along with things like the All America Walk that we're doing this weekend. So far, 60 different groups across the country are participating all over the country, walking in support of Ron Paul in their cities and towns. It's going to be a heck of a weekend for the freedom message and for Dr. Paul. So very exciting. So did you listen to
the? We're going to do our best to make it seen.
Oh yeah. We have to. And you know what? The good thing is the work that we do, it counts. It really has an effect. You know, you listen to people like
I was thinking this morning. If one person sees that banner and sees the name, he's got 10 or 12 friends who he tells, and they tell their friends, and it's like a big ripple, you know. If you can get one person, you can influence 100.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well,
but, I mean, if we have 100,000 people there and we influence even a tenth of them,
oh, yeah,
we'll have a tremendous base of people.
Absolutely, and we do, and it's
great. People, the race car fans, they love to hunt, they love to shoot, they love their freedom. They're the typical American.
Mm-hmm.
And they are not going to give up very easily once they get their hands on something. Once they get a grasp of what he's offering, I don't believe they'll ever go back to the norm.
Yep.
I really don't.
Yep, yep, yep.
It's just our job to show them what he has say, what he's saying.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, thank you very much for calling in with that and sharing that information with us, and we're going to do everything we can to make sure that everyone knows about it. If you want to call in on Friday, on Monday, and give us a report on how it went, that'd be wonderful. We'd love to hear some details about how everything went for you.
I might even send you some video.
That'd be wonderful. Thank you so much.
I don't know how you'd show it on the radio, but you can...
Well, I'll post it up on my website or something, or, you know...
There you go.
Play the audio segments. We'll figure it out. But thanks a lot for calling in, and look forward to having you on the show again sometime at a later date.
All right.
Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
Okay, so there was Linda Honeycutt, the Granny Warrior, and she continues to do fantastic work. She has a website, it's Granny Warrior. Is it Granny Warrior? Or I think it's GrannyWarriors.com. www.grannywarriors.com. Go ahead and go there. And I know that they're frequently in need of funds to help finance their expeditions around the country in this RV. Apparently, it's not in the world's greatest shape. It occasionally has mechanical problems. They got to pay for gas. So there is a place to donate to them at grannywarriors.com. So go for that and help them out. Let's go ahead and listen to the CNBC Kudlow post-debate interview now. And this is not as much fun to listen to as the Chris Matthews, but let's give it a whirl.
Declinism, populism, and inequality. You sounded very pessimistic tonight, sir. Was that your intent?
No, not at all, because what's existing is very pessimistic, but I'm very optimistic if we did the right things, and that's a big if. But I think the quality of life is going down. I think real income is going down. I think there is a disparity between the poor and the middle class and Wall Street. I think some people are doing exceptionally well. There are more billionaires than ever before. But if you go out to Main Street and you go out and campaign, you'll find out there's a lot of people very, very unhappy because they do need to have two jobs and their standard of living is going down.
What's the answer?
But Larry, you know, well, you have to have sound money. You cannot destroy a currency deliberately and debase a currency and have inflation resulting. That is, the prices go up and they always go up unevenly and the poor people suffer the most. But if you get the money first, if you get it from the military industrial complex or the medical profession, how about the medical industrial industry right now?
I
get
the
money first.
Some people, including myself, I actually spoke with, interviewed Secretary Condoleezza Rice this morning. I don't think the military departments, the budget for the military, gets enough money to defend this country.
Well, the defense doesn't get enough, but none of it goes to defense. The defense is worse than ever. But we, if you add up everything that we do to manage our world empire, it's close to $1 trillion a year, and I can defend those statistics. You don't need all this, and our defense is down. The military equipment in worse shape. We're under greater threat than ever before because our foreign policy is actually setting the stage for a more likely attack on us. So I think everything we do is wrong. I'd spend more money on defense. And we spend more money on the military, on stuff we don't need and wars we don't need to fight. And we forget about our own borders and we forget about taking care of ourselves. We were protecting Korea a lot better than we were protecting Washington, D.C. on 9/11.
All right,
so
we're
disoriented.
Let me go back to some of the issues here. First of all, a lot of the discussion at the beginning of the debate in the first hour was about budget cutting. That's one of the reasons the Republicans seem to have lost the House and the Senate. Yes, the war in Iraq was a big drag, but so was special earmarks and corruption and overbloated budgets. Are there specifics you can give us this evening, sir, to reduce the federal budget?
Yes, I would start with the overseas military expenditures. You can cut hundreds of billions of dollars there and we'd be better off for it. But I don't believe in the Department of Education and Department of Energy. I mean, Department of Agriculture, why do we have to keep pouring out these billions of dollars worth of subsidies? Why do we subsidize the energy industry? Always giving subsidies, pretending that we know which is the best energy source. So I say there's a lot we could do.
Is it time for Republicans? This is a serious question because it goes back to the original Gingrich Congress 15 years ago. Is it time for Republicans to start calling either for massive shrinking of certain government departments or in some cases total abolition? Is that what it's going to take to jar the Republican Party and get them to move back in the direction of limited government?
Yeah, but you can't do it with the crop that's running the party right now. I mean, I'm the stranger in there because I advocate limited government. So if you have the crop that's coming along, I mean, they're big government people, big taxers, big spenders. They won't ever touch the military budget. So, no, there's not much hope. It's pretty bad when the Democrats are more conservative than the Republicans when it comes to fiscal affairs.
All right. Congressman Ron Paul, we thank you, as always, sir. Good luck on the campaign trail.
So, it was a decent interview. I think that Kudlow was actually respectful. In the past, he hasn't been. And, you know, he asked some tough questions, but in a fair way. Dr. Paul had the opportunity here to give out, some more points that are really key. You know, he did talk about that. Well, what's the answer? Okay. Well, direct response to a direct question, the answer is sound money. Okay. You know, getting back to constitutional sound money. You know, how are we going to do that? Well, we're going to cut the defense budget. Well, I should say we're going to cut the military budget. He makes the distinction between the military and the defense, with the implication or being that, in fact, the military is not defending the country. The military is attacking other countries. And that attacking other countries is not synonymous with defending the country. So we need to spend more money, as he indicated, on defense. In other words, actually having troops at our borders to prevent invasion and attack from other countries, whether it's by terrorism or by the invasion of illegal aliens into our country, whatever it may be. That's defense, okay? More defense, less offense. And he gets the opportunity to speak about limited government. And in fact, Kudlow brought that up. You know, okay, so how are we going to get this party back to its roots, recognizing that that is in fact what the Republican Party is supposed to be about, which is limited government? How are we going to do that? Well, Dr. Paul says certainly not with the crop that we have in place in the party right now. That's going to have to change. Well, guess what, folks? It is changing. The Ron Paul revolution is here, and I predict it won't happen in this election cycle, but by the next time we're talking about electing a president in 4 years from now, we will have taken the Republican Party over. We will have taken the Republican Party over. We don't have enough time this time around. We're going to make a dent. We're going to penetrate, you know, the armor of the party. We're going to make a dent. We're going to penetrate, but we're not going to be able to take it over completely. But I can guarantee you that we will, if we continue and we continue to work hard. That by the time we come around, maybe even sooner, maybe by the next congressional elections 2 years from now, we may be already in a position where we're the majority, we are the power in the Republican Party, and we can return it to working for limited constitutional government. I predict that. If we continue, if we just drop the ball after the election is over, regardless of what the outcome is, whether Dr. Paul is elected or not, then of course it won't happen. But if we take the freedom movement and the freedom message as it has been developed thus far to its logical conclusions, yeah, that's what's going to happen. And no, they can't stop us. So that's what we have to go for. Now, there is the most bizarre, strange piece of propaganda that I have seen recently by Glenn Beck on his show. Now, Glenn Beck in this piece is attempting to trash Dr. Paul. Oh, I have just way too much to say about this. I'm just going to have to play this and then comment on it. I may stop as we go, but this is something you just have to hear.
read you what one Republican presidential candidate says about a few of the key issues that are at least important to me, and I want to see how many of these you agree with, and then you try to guess who I'm talking about. First one, debt and taxes. Quote, working Americans like lower taxes. So do I. Lower taxes benefit all of us, creating jobs and allowing us to make more decisions for ourselves about our lives. Is that great or what? On American independence and sovereignty, he says, quote, the so-called free trade deals and world governmental organizations are a threat to our independence as a nation. They transfer power from our government to unelected foreign elites. Another big match for me. On borders and immigration, look at this one. The talk must stop. We must secure our borders now. A nation without secure borders is no nation at all. It makes no sense to fight terrorists abroad when our front door is left unlocked. How many times have you said that? Next, the Second Amendment. Quote, I share a founder's belief that a free society, in a free society, each citizen must have the right to keep and bear arms. Amen, brother. And finally, homeschooling. Quote, my commitment to ensuring homeschooling remains a practical alternative for American families is unmatched by any presidential candidate. I got to tell you, you read those things and this guy, at least to me, sounds like a dream candidate. And then you find out that it was Ron Paul.
Okay, hold the phone. Now, this is really, truly propaganda because they're trying to, what he's trying to set up here is that you can like all these things and agree with all of this, but there's a problem with Dr. Paul, the messenger, rather than the message. That's what he's trying to set up here. There's a problem with the messenger, it's not the message. He's trying to tell you that all these things, that he, Glenn Beck, is the libertarian. Okay? And that... All right, let me just go ahead and play the rest of it. It'll become more clear to you.
Yeah. Same Ron Paul who pulls in a whopping 2% in the polls of likely Republican voters. How?
Okay, so what does that have to do with his message? Excuse me?
How does that happen? Even though this guy has raised over $5 million in the third quarter, only 2%. Why is that?
Because your polls suck, excuse me. That's why. Your polls are not legitimate. You fool.
Well, you know, he's got a, for me at least, the breaking point are the policies that I don't agree with, like pulling out of Iraq and legalizing drugs. But on the whole, I probably agree with his libertarian founding father constitution.
Okay, I know there's a whole lot more to that. So what happened? It stopped playing. There's a problem with the file. So here we go. Let me back it up a little bit.
Remains a practical alternative for...
Okay, so he is, again, sorry, there's a problem with the file here, trying to separate Dr. Paul from his message. And there is this feeble attempt, and I'm going to see if I can get this to play for you, this feeble attempt to paint Dr. Paul as this wacko. And really, it's amazing to watch because it's Glenn Beck that comes off looking like a little bit of a loon, quite frankly. So this is truly desperate propaganda. And something that I am noting, and it really jumps out here at Glenn Beck as he tries to paint himself with... he tries to dress himself in Dr. Paul's clothing. He tries to paint himself as the libertarian. Now, I think what's happening, and we're going to see more of this, now that the freedom message of Dr. Paul has become popular, undeniably popular, downright hot on the scene, baby, okay? Now that that has happened, these goons are going to try to co-opt it. Because if you can't beat them, pretend that you're joining them. That's what he's trying to do here. Now, I don't know Glenn Beck, really. I'll be honest with you, I have very little idea about him. Like you all know, I don't even own a television set. Don't watch it. Don't have time for it. I'm a free thinker. I do not pollute my mind with mental toxins. All right? And that's what you get from television. So, I'll be honest, don't know about his history, but what I do know of him is he's a straight-up neocon. He's no libertarian. Please give me a break. Trying to paint himself up like a libertarian now. All of a sudden, now that it's hot, now that it is clearly resonating with the American public, clearly, they're trying to co-opt it. All right? Go ahead and try. All you're going to do is make our message more available to the people, and you're going to introduce more people to Dr. Paul. You cannot separate the messenger from the message, and excuse me, he is a fantastic messenger. We could not have hoped for a better, more principled, more reputable messenger for the freedom message than Dr. Ron Paul. And you, Mr. Beck, are no Dr. Ron Paul. Let me play the rest of this ridiculous piece of propaganda.
Because you can certainly judge a book by its cover.
Let me back this up a little bit. Try it again. Oh, gosh. There's some kind of weirdness happening with this file here. And I really want to play this for you. Okay, dangers of trying to play it straight from the screen. He goes on to play a string of clips from Dr. Paul. They are bits and pieces taken out of context where they supposedly show Dr. Paul to be some kind of a crazy loon. And they don't do that. They simply don't accomplish what he intends them to accomplish. They put this music behind it. It's like circus music behind Dr. Paul as he's speaking. It's just stupid. It doesn't work. It does not accomplish the effect of making Dr. Paul look like an idiot. It just makes Glenn Beck and his producers look like idiots. That's all it accomplishes. Because there's nothing in what Dr. Paul says that's ridiculous. There's nothing in what he looks like on screen while he's saying these things that makes him look stupid or idiotic. It's really a very desperate piece of propaganda. And you can just Google it. It's at actually video.google.com. And let me see if I get this back here for you. Let's give it a go again.
This to me sounds like a dream candidate. And then you find out that it was Ron Paul. Same Ron Paul who pulls in a whopping 2% in the polls of likely Republican voters. How does that happen? Even though this guy has raised over $5 million in the third quarter,
they're going to keep hitting us over the head with that 2%.
Why is
stuff
that?
Over and
well,
over and over
you know,
again.
He's got a, for me at least,
all they've got left
the
is the 2%.
Agree with, like pulling out of Iraq, legalizing drugs. But on the whole, I probably agree with his libertarian founding father, Constitution-focused values more than other candidates.
Boom!
Why
you are a neocon.
Does America consider voting for him? Real story is, maybe...
Excuse me, America is seriously considering voting for Dr. Ron Paul. Okay, wake up and smell the coffee, get a little taste of reality. You are a dinosaur and out of touch with reality. End of story.
Just maybe... Because you can certainly judge a book by its cover.
Okay, now it's up on the screen. The real story. The Ron Paul Revolution? Question mark. Okay, hey folks, we're getting recognition. Here's Glenn Beck, forced, absolutely obligated by our work, by the success of the Ron Paul Revolution, forced to give us time, forced to put us up on screen, forced to talk about us, and forced into a desperate, truly, pathetically desperate attempt at propaganda and spin control. So here's the real story of the Ron Paul Revolution, supposedly. Oh, let's hear this. Lots of LARPs here.
And Ron Paul's cover, not exactly looking like a bestseller, you know? I mean, if you're going to tell me that you're going to abolish the FBI, okay, you better do it, you know. You better wrap that up in a nice, slick wrapper, you know. You got to look like you actually can do that. He's got some pretty sane proposals. And if his fundraising is any indication, he has tapped into the frustration every American feels right now towards the dummies in Washington.
Thank you. See, he's being forced. I mean, his attack points are just nothing. They don't amount to anything whatsoever. Very desperate. Yet at the same time, he's forced to acknowledge the legitimacy of the campaign. This is just a actually, you know, I like this piece because it's just showing how much they're losing control of the situation, that it's out of control, and that, you know, we are surging and they are on their heels. Fools, neocon fools like Glenn Beck are on their heels. It is time to press the advantage, and go for the whole deal.
But unfortunately, no matter what he's selling, for good or for ill, he ends up looking like the mayor of Crazy Town. And that seems to be a little problem.
Well, the main reason I'm here is because I was invited. They attack us because we've been over there. We've been bombing Iraq for 10 years.
Yes, we did bomb.
Osama bin Laden has said, I am glad you're over on our sand because we can target you so much easier.
They also cited sanctions, so we're not making progress there, and we should come home.
How many times did Clinton bomb? Have you ever read about the reasons they attacked us?
And I generally would rather walk in a parade than ride.
I'll bet you we didn't go 1 year where we didn't bomb. And besides, we had sanctions, and we're more threatened now by staying.
I can't think of any one particular event where I made a critical decision that affected a lot of other people.
How many times did Bush bomb? Hundreds of thousands of people died from the sanctions.
I keep getting surprised every day. Okay, there's one other problem.
Okay, so how does putting circus music behind just ordinary statements that Dr. Paul made make him crazy? Explain that to me, Glenn, because it just didn't work. I think you guys threw this together 30 minutes before airtime. I mean, you know, they put Dr. Paul's picture up at like an angle, like, you know how Batman used to have the show kind of kiltered and off, tilted to make it look like a little crazy and insane, you know? I mean, that's what they're doing, this effect with the picture and off to the side and little music behind it. If you're going to launch a propaganda attack, I mean, spend a little time on it and make it work. I mean, this is just pathetic.
That I see with the Ron Paul revolution, and I say this with due respect, but the revolutionaries, you kind of scare me a little bit. I mean, it's the little sheets that are the banners that you put over the freeways, you know what I mean?
Again, forced to recognize, you're obligated to recognize our work. Thank you so much for letting the world know that, yes, we hand, you had to call them sheets, you know, try to like edge in some kind of like KKK implications, you know. Yeah, that's right. We are, you know, Ron Paul's army, and we are out there, and we are having an effect. Thank you. We have affected you. You were forced to even recognize our work on your national television show. Thank you, Mr. Beck.
You crash the web poll so that the candidate gets 95% of the vote, and then you complain when you're excluded from future polls. Whenever I talk politics on radio, half the phone calls I get from people who want to talk about Ron Paul, and I take them. And then the other half of the calls are asking why I'm part of some media conspiracy to not talk about Ron Paul.
Well, there you go, sir. Yes, we are taking over. Your time is done. You are history. Go ahead, just grab a fork right out of your kitchen drawer, stick yourself with it, because you are done. It's over. Glenn, a couple of years, I'm going to have your job.
They also love to say that the mainstream media refuses to interview their candidate. I'll be completely honest with you. I've asked Ron Paul repeatedly to come on this program, never really agreed. I'll give you a fair question.
You know what? I don't think Dr. Paul should go on your show. You're a fool. You're a nitwit. You're a twit. You are beneath Dr. Paul's dignity.
Rod, I really will. He never has agreed except for one time, and then at the last minute he bailed on us and stiffed us, which is good in national television.
He probably had something better to do, because you know what? He's kind of inundated with requests to be on television and radio, and he can't possibly accept them all because, you know, he's kind of popular, and people really want to hear from him.
I guess my question to all true libertarians is this. Your platform has reawakened a disgruntled electorate. I am more libertarian than anything else. Voters are begging for common sense, founding father types, values, and you've got them.
but you can't sell steak without sizzle. The question is, libertarians, is Ron Paul really the best guy you got?
Unbelievable. Yes, the answer is Ron Paul is the very best. He is founding father material, and you are an absolute horse's behind. It's pretty much that simple. And even the dumbed down American public viewing your really, truly sorry piece of propaganda would understand that. Okay? Thank you, Glenn, because you made our points pretty well, you know, and you made the points of, you know, this could have been a spoof. Someone could have, like, done, you know, looked a lot like, done a really good Glenn Beck impression and done this as a spoof in order to make Glenn Beck look like, well, a horse's ass and to help put out the Ron Paul message. It would have been a wonderful spoof, only it was really Glenn Beck, which is kind of crazy. So, very bizarre. Go ahead and Google that. Really bizarre and entertaining in this kind of like car wreck kind of way. Really something else. Anyway, yet more evidence of the breakthrough. The breakthrough. It's happening. It's here. It's live. And it continues. There will be more tomorrow. We've got a piece coming up for you tomorrow with Joe Scarborough on, I think, on The View. And no, there was something on The View. And then there was also Joe Scarborough again on his show talking about Ron Paul. The breakthrough continues. So it's time to press the advantage. We've got them on their heels. We've got them on the run. Let's not let up even for a second. This weekend, the All-America Walk for the Ron Paul Freedom Message, this Saturday, October 13th. Go to www.ronpaulfreedommessage.com, ronpaulfreedommessage.com. Look for the link on the upper right-hand corner of the page, and you will see the link to all of our currently scheduled events. So I'm going to list for you right now 60 events. Alabama, Arizona, Bay Area, California, Sacramento, California, Santa Barbara, California, Santa Cruz, California, Los Angeles, California, San Francisco, California, Palm Springs, California, Pismo Beach, California, Danbury, Connecticut, Tolan, Connecticut, Delaware, Pensacola, Florida, Clearwater, Florida, West Palm Beach, Florida, Georgia, Illinois, Iowa, Kansas, Kentucky, New Orleans, Louisiana, Covington, Louisiana, Maine, Boston, Mass., Springfield, Mass., St. Paul, Minnesota, Bloomington, Minnesota, Independence, Missouri, Kansas City, Missouri, New Jersey, New Mexico, Rochester, New York, New York City, North Carolina, Winston-Salem, North Carolina, North Dakota, Oklahoma, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Rhode Island, South Carolina, Rapid City, South Dakota, Sioux City Falls, South Dakota, Chattanooga, Tennessee, Memphis, Tennessee, Austin, Texas, Dallas, Texas, Houston, Texas, Plano, Texas, Utah, Everett, Washington, Seattle, Washington, Wisconsin. And those are just the ones that we know of. I'm 100% sure that there are many others that are just simply not listed because they didn't tell us that they're doing it. The word is out. It's happening all over the country. I don't know how many people we're going to be having walking in support of Ron Paul, but I really hope you're going to be one of them. So go to the webpage, www.ronpaulfreedommessage.com, and look and see where your local walk is. If there isn't one, make it happen. Don't know how to do that? Email me at freedommessage@sbcglobal.net. I'll help you get one together. It's not rocket science. You can throw something up in no time. Piece of cake. And it is lots of fun. So, that's our show for today. Thank you very much for listening to The Freedom Message with Steve and Vincent on bbsradio.com. Thank you to bbsradio.com for letting me go over time again, as they're so generous and supportive of Dr. Ron Paul and his Freedom Message. Thank you so much, guys. You rock. Okay, I'm going to send you home with a song. Let me see. I have not played recently. Hey. Let's go with a classic, Hope for America by Steve Dorr.
This a great man we can count on, who stands far above the crowd, leading the cause for freedom. We have someone on our side now. We the people are ready, with our backs up against the wall. In this time of great trouble, our nation really needs Ron Paul. He's hope for America.
Ron Paul, our president.